Have your Bible open up to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Couple of things before I get started. First, I always forgive if I don't write stuff down. Appreciate y'all giving us the gifts. Didn't need to do all that for a pastor appreciation, but I greatly appreciate you giving. And another thing is I appreciate y'all giving to the food ministry with Mark and them, helping them. Mark, you got anything you want to say about that? Cool. All right. Good. Good, and appreciate everybody giving on that. You know, I'll say this about my people is when Mark talked to me about that ministry, he's like, you know, one of my concerns is just, you know, being able to have the funds to feed this many people. I said, oh, you'll have it, and he's had it. Yeah, I appreciate y'all giving to the Lord in that. And so starting off in, we're going to look in the book of Acts chapter 1. We're just gonna look at a couple of verses this morning, and then as I go, I got a few more. But you'll remember last week we looked at Acts, and we was in verses 7 and 8 talking about church membership, people having questions about church membership. And so we looked at that last week, talking about being an active part of what Jesus designed the church to do, and that's to be witnesses of the gospel throughout the whole world. And to make disciples, because our desire and the Lord's desire is to reach people and to teach people, to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of heaven, okay? And so as we look at this, we're going to focus on a kingdom mindset this morning. Having a kingdom mindset, because there's two kingdoms in this world. It's the kingdom of heaven at this point now, which is spiritual in aspect. Soon, very soon, I believe, Christ is going to come and set up a physical kingdom here in this world, on this earth, and rule and reign for 1,000 years. At the end of that, there's going to be an end to one kingdom and the establishment of the other. And so we're going to look at that this morning. But looking in Acts chapter 1, starting off in verse 6, it said, therefore, when they, he's talking about the disciples here, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And so they had this kingdom mindset. Most of the things, the majority of Jesus' preaching, teaching, and praying revolved around the kingdom. As you study the Gospels, you'll see that was the main theme that he spoke on here. Verse 7, he said, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, I want you to flip over and look in, we'll just keep going to verse 9. It says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he ascended in a bodily, a physical body into heaven. It says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee. Now watch this question. Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And so when you look at a spiritual, or not a spiritual, but a kingdom mindset here, there's two things I want to bring out in the scripture that points to that. First of all, you know, yesterday I had a friend that called me from Houston. He called you too? Yeah, a guy called us from Houston. He was talking to me, and he actually had been in one of the prisons that we go and preach to. And we got to know him, me and David got to know him pretty well. And anyhow, he's out now and he's living in Houston. And he called, he was talking there, and he was talking about how prevalent that drugs are, which they're that way everywhere, I think. But He lives in downtown Houston. He was talking about how, he said, man, you can't literally go anywhere without seeing drugs and people doing drugs. He said, he went to the bus station. He said, there's people everywhere at the bus station doing drugs. He said, there's actually people living all, you know, around the bus station. He said, you get on a bus and people are doing drugs. You're walking down the street and you see people doing drugs. He said, people are actually have mattresses laying in the next to the streets, and they're sleeping on mattresses. And I'll be honest with you, Palestine's really no different at all. You know, and not be, you know, as a big city, you're going to see a little bit more there. But Palestine's just as bad. We're one of the highest rated drug communities in the state of Texas, if you want to know the truth about it. And we're no longer this nice little country town where if somebody, you know, smokes a joint, oh my goodness. I mean, if you don't know it, it's very prevalent here. And you need to prepare your kids for that. But just drug, not just drugs, alcohol abuse, and people who live for the love of money and sinful relationships. And here's the thing, whatever it is, it's a kingdom of darkness where people have no thought whatsoever other than what they can get out of this world. You have a mindset. That's the mindset when you're lost and you're living in the mindset of the kingdom of darkness. This world and what a person can get out of that, no matter what it is all that they think about. Because they don't think about life continuing after death. They just want to have a big time here and have a bunch of big things and have a big name. And so that's what that world thinks about, and that's what they invest in. And here's the mindset I want our church to have. I'm not talking about a people who just intently, and there are some people, obviously, who just willingly, you know, live that way, rebel against God, hate God's way. But I would say, I believe a majority of people, when you look at those people like he's talking about in Houston and all that, a majority of those people, the Bible says, the little g, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded them. And they don't know the gospel. And so they don't know of any hope. Or so many people, like he's talking about, 4%, right? Blows my mind. We can turn that ship around. But here's what I'll say. When you've got 4% of kids coming to church, I think we're blind in a lot of ways to think, oh, everybody knows what I know, and everybody heard what I hear, and everybody has the chance that I have, and they don't. Most people today don't have a clue about the gospel, and I just want to touch on this while I'm here. And I'll say it again, but here's the thing. So how have we lost three generations on our way to our fourth? Here's how. Because years back, we changed the gospel. That's right. We changed it from repentance of sin and faith in Jesus to just invite Jesus into your heart. Just invite Jesus to your heart is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. I'll challenge that with anybody, okay? And just repeating a prayer. Well, you just repeat a prayer and going about your business. Probably told you this before, and I'm a little rough on it because I come from that generation. And I'll be honest with you, that almost ended me up in hell, that whole concept. You know, just do this real quick and you're good to go, and do this real quick. And the Lord doesn't, you know. And I understand we're absolutely saved by grace, but we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, all right? It's not, we're not saved by praying this little prayer, inviting Jesus in our heart. That's nowhere in the Bible. And I remember one time when I was a kid listening to, actually it was an evangelist, he was bragging about how he could get to a red light and he could win the person in the car next to him to the Lord before the light turned green. Like, that's some of the junk that was going on back then. I'm like, no, you can't do that because you don't do anything. You understand that? Salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart from hearing the Word of God. And if they don't do that, they don't come to Jesus. I can get out. I can get out and scare somebody. I could have every kid in this church pray in a prayer today. It would take me about 3 minutes with them by myself, and they would pray the prayer. Is that what salvation is? Because if it is, we can change the world in a few minutes. And I think we're reaping the results of that thought process because people are not truly converted in their heart and God's Spirit's not in them. So they don't desire the things of God and they're walking in darkness thinking that they're okay and they got, you know, a get out of hell free card to present to the Lord because they said some little prayer. So here's where I'm at. Don't teach your kids that. And if you taught your kids that, go back and reteach them. Teach them what the Bible says. I think what he's involved in is one of the greatest ministries in the world because apart from the Word of God, nothing happens. Nothing happens. You understand fear and emotion? None of those things save a person. It's the word of God, the work of God's spirit, and putting our faith and trust in what Christ has done in Christ alone, that saves and converts the soul. And that continues because God's spirit makes a new person.
That's right.
Y'all with me?
Oh, yeah.
So in that, you know, here's the thing. Most people are in the kingdom of darkness, sad to say, but there's something coming to this world, and I promise you, you don't want no part of it. When you look on the news, you know, and I'm, you know, I'll tell you, and I told my guys Wednesday night, I said, I'm real funny about saying, you know, I think Jesus come back next 5 years. I don't do that. I've listened to that a lot, or saying I believe this, but I will step out on them and say this. I think it's really close. I think it's really close. The possibility. By looking at God's word and looking what we have going on in this world and seeing what's taking place in Israel and all these peace covenants that they're working for and everybody's going against Israel and all the things we got with AI. There's just so many. I could just go on and on. I ain't preaching this morning, but I just go, You know, something's coming to this world. Say, what's coming? There's going to be an annihilation of one kingdom. That's the kingdom of darkness. And there's going to be the establishment of the other kingdom. And that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You understand that? And you're in one or two kingdoms. And listen to this. Your kids are in one or the other. Your grandkids are in one or the other. Your parents are in one or the other. And if they're in the one that the annihilation is coming to, that God's judgment is coming upon, and after that God's wrath is going to come upon those who reject Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's not a good thing to be a part of. You don't want no part of that. And so in that, God's chosen the local church to be an agent by which he brings salvation. Because here's the thing, God's desire is to save people. God's desire is to save you. The Bible said you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. It's a kingdom of life and forgiveness through what Christ does for us. Everything that's provided for us in the kingdom of heaven was fully provided through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Not something you work to attain or that you live up to, something to where, you know, hopefully you make it. You're either in Christ or you're not. You're born again or you're dead in your trespasses and sin. Bible's really simple if you just study it out. And so in this, God wants to develop a kingdom mindset in us as his people. Now you'll notice here in the scripture, he said the two angels there, notice they were men, not weak little women and naked babies with a harp. We need to get a biblical concept of our mind about the kingdom of heaven. Two men standing there, and they said, why are you gazing? Why are you just standing here spectating? Why are you just watching? You know, because here's the thing. Because the one you're watching, the king who's going up, that king is coming back. I wonder how many of you crossed your mind this week. If you do a little rewind over your week. How many of you woke up in the morning time and literally thought, today could be the day? Now, I'm a post-trib pre-wrath, okay? So I believe that Jesus is going to come back towards the end of the tribulation. I hope that I'm wrong because I could be. But here's where I'm at. I do still think, you know what? This could be the day. This could be the week. Here's the thing. I might hear my trumpet sound today, all right? The Lord might take me out of here today. And I might bury some of you this week. I preached to people on Sunday and buried them by Thursday. So we never know when our day is, or we never know when the day of the person next to us is. Because a lot of times what we do is we just think about ourselves, like I'm saved and I'm ready if the Lord comes back. Well, let me ask you about the person next to you and the person in front of you and the person who's in the house living with you. Are they ready for the Lord to come back? Because here's the thing, if you're ready and the Lord hadn't come back for you, that tells me he's got a purpose of leaving you here. And that's all those other people around you, because everybody's not ready. Y'all with me this morning? Okay. So think about this. So what is a kingdom mindset? We went over this a little bit on Wednesday night in class. Kingdom mindset is the rule of Jesus Christ within your heart and soul and the expectancy of his return. You see, if you're a child of God, really, you should look with a great hope and an expectancy like John prayed at the end of the book of Revelation. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. And it's sad to say that there's a lot of God's people, or at least people who say they love the Lord, know the Lord. When you talk about Christ's return, here's honestly what I hear more than anything. You know, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I want the Lord to come back, but not today. You know why? It's because what we see in this world, we think it's so great. And I realize, and I want to encourage you, I realize for young people, like, well, I want to get married. You might not. I want to get married, and I want to have kids, and I want to see my kids grow up, and I want to see my kids graduate, and I want to see all these different things, and I love my family. I'm like, so you don't think that having your family out of a sinful world, a sinful environment, in an environment that is perfect, where you love perfectly, where you know perfectly, and heaven ain't some fog where you're going, hey, here's the thing. Like, when I see Heath Harper in heaven, I'm going to go, man, duh. No, you saw somewhere. Well, Keith, like, I don't know. I don't really know you. Yeah, let's go ask the Lord. I'm going to know Heath Harper and go, hey, Heath, I was your friend and I was your pastor.
That's right.
He's going to lie, I know that. Let's go fishing. You understand? I think we need to do some studying on what the Bible teaches about heaven, not what Hollywood teaches about heaven. And understand that it's far greater than anything we've ever experienced here. I got to give you this real quick, and I'm going to go a little bit over. So when I watched the show this week, and they said that, you know, the average human uses only 10% capacity of our brain. 10%. You know why I think that is? I believe I can prove it. Adam used 100% of the capacity of his brain. Now, because of what sin caused in man, that changed over, especially over a long period of time. We like to look at those people like, man, those people are stupid, uneducated people. We don't know how they even functioned back then. They didn't know how to build a fire. Like, are you kidding me? Adam named every animal that God brought past him. He was an intellectual giant. And because of what sin has caused through all these years, we're only using 10%. You realize when you're in heaven, you're going to have 100% capacity. Like, what does that even look like? We don't know. I'll probably work off of 5% of mine. Some of you are amening on that. So let me give you this. Think about this. Sin came about. Why? Because Adam and Eve wanted the throne. They wanted the throne. The devil lied to them and said, hey, the reason God doesn't want you to partake of the fruit of that tree is, you know, you'll be like him. You'll be like God. They were like, hey, I like to rule. You know, and that's what sin does. Sin moves in our mind, our thought process, moves God off the throne and puts us on it. We ourselves look at ourselves as God. Salvation is not about inviting Jesus into your heart. Actually, it's humbly receiving a full pardon provided for you through the death and burial resurrection of Jesus. And listen to me, you joyfully come in under Jesus' reign in your life as Savior and Lord. All the way through the scripture, that's what it teaches. And what we did in America years ago, we're like, no, no, no. He can be your Savior, but not the Lord of your life. That was very appealing to people. Go, yeah, I'll share the throne. He doesn't share his throne with anybody. You understand that? You know what God does to your heart? I don't invite Jesus in my heart. The Bible actually says that God rips out that old stony, sinful, wicked heart. And he puts in the heart of his son inside of you and his spirit inside of you. And he causes you to walk in his word and to keep his commands. That's what the Bible teaches. And so when I come to Jesus, I don't just come to Jesus and go, hey, I want to invite you in my heart. I want to invite you into my kingdom so that you can help me get all this stuff that I want. And I can go to heaven when it's over. Salvation is recognizing that I've rebelled against God. That I wanted to be God. That's what sin's caused in my life. And I come to the place to recognize that Jesus is Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 19, everybody knows it. If you'll confess with your mouth what? That Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and the mouth confesses and made unto salvation. And so it's coming to the place to where I go, where I come in under God's reign through Jesus in my life. I enter into his kingdom and go, you're Lord and I'm not. That's a little bit different, ain't it? It's a little bit. So that's not quite as easy as repeating a prayer. And you know what repeating a prayer does? It doesn't change anything in your life. You see, anywhere in that scripture that I just quoted, you can read it again, Romans 10, 9 and 10, I can give you 50 more. It doesn't say anything about a quick little prayer and get on about your business. It's a total heart and life transformation by the Spirit of the Lord. Y'all with me? I want you to think about that. If you're one of them, goes, "Yeah, I did all that." Like, what do you? What exactly do you mean you did that? I did that, never did see much change. Oh, so the God of the universe, who spoke everything into existence, moved into your heart and soul, raised you from the dead to life inside, washed away all your sins, put the heart of His Son in you, and you don't notice no difference. No difference in your desires. You're not thinking about the kingdom. You don't have a kingdom mindset. You know, majority of what Jesus taught was about the kingdom. Think about this. Sermon on the Mount was the kingdom sermon. When He prayed in that sermon, He was teaching them to pray. What did He pray? "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He told them in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." So the Holy Spirit in believers is doing what? He's developing the mind of Christ, a kingdom mindset. You know what that means? It means to be heavenly minded. Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Don't lay up treasures where moth eats and thieves break in and steal and rust corrupts it. Don't lay up treasures here on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven." Yeah. Invest in the kingdom of God, because those are eternal. That's an eternal mindset. That's a kingdom mindset, that I'm not trying to get everything that this world has. Remember, Abraham said he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And so a kingdom mindset is letting go of this world and reaching unto what we believe as God. Think about this, and let me read to you, because it's so good and I don't want to, you know, botch it up. When you look in Colossians chapter 3, He's talking to believers here. Notice what He says. He said, "If then," 3:1, "if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." Verse 2, "Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth, for you died." You get that? You died. Say, when did I die? When you trusted in Jesus, you died, and He became the life in you. "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Thank the Lord. "When Christ, who is our life," watch that, think about that. Is Christ your life? There's a lot of people go, "What do you think about?" I always ask the question, "What do you think about Jesus?" Well, He's my Lord and Savior. Is He your life? Is He your life? "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." How many people are looking forward to that? How many people live with that mindset? When you begin to live with that mindset, all of a sudden the things of the earth, like the song says, go strangely dim. When my focus is up on the kingdom and what my purpose in the kingdom is here, then a lot of these things I don't strive for and I don't live for. That's when you start experiencing peace and joy and purpose, and you begin to connect with a community, a kingdom community, where you go, there's love here, and there's people who have the same vision and thought process. That's what happened with the first church. You know what? I don't preach a whole lot on giving, but I'll say this. You know, there's a lot who do. You shouldn't really have to preach a whole lot on giving. You want to know why? Because God's Spirit in us, a people with a kingdom mindset, we just give. We're not attached to the things of the world. We're not living for what we can get out of our money, God's money, okay? Or our time, which is God's time. You know, in the early church, you don't see where Peter stood up and said, "Hey, you people need to sell your property and bring and give it to the church." But you know what they were doing? Folks are just going out selling their property and coming out. They believed in what God was doing. They had a kingdom mindset. And like, here, we want to be a part of this. We want to invest in the kingdom. Nowadays, you got to stand up. Preachers stand up and they beg and they guilt and they hammer. They do everything else. Here's what I'm saying. Give if God so moves you to give. If you love the Lord, then give. Give back what's the Lord's. If you don't want to give, keep your junk, because He don't need it. You understand what I'm saying? We give as an expression of a kingdom mindset because we believe what we believe. Right. All right, let me get through with this. And so, not only having a kingdom mindset, the second thing is, you'll see that He says, "Why are you standing here gazing?" God didn't call us to be spectators, just to watch and listen and hear. We're called to advance the kingdom. We're called, and it's not a job, it's a privilege. We invest and we advance the kingdom of God because we believe in it. Micah 6:8, I'm going to give you this. It's very simple to say, what is my point in advancing the kingdom? Micah 6:8, he said, what does God require of us? Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Three things. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. See, God made it really simple. So what does that look like, seeking justice, love and mercy, and walking humbly to God? How does our church advance the kingdom? Number one, God calls us to help widows and orphans. That's called mercy. We're showing the love of Christ. We have compassion in our hearts. And he calls us to invest in and to help those kind of people. He tells us to help the poor. We do help the poor. One of the things in Mark's ministry is going out and helping the poor. We're a part of giving to feed the 2,000 in Palestine. The food ministry is going on here. That's why. I want you to understand why we do those things, is because we are advancing the kingdom of God. We're called to fight for the rights of the unborn. So why do people get all stirred up? Because that's called justice. It's an injustice for you to murder innocent babies. And God's called his people to go, don't stand for that injustice. Establish justice. We should establish justice in our government. Man, I pray for godly politicians. I know they're few and far between, but we still ought to be praying for them. Some of y'all might need to be running for it, all right? We feed the hungry. We carry the word of God to the world. Say, why do we want to give to this ministry of the Gideons? Because God's called us to. We love that. If you believe God's word, you sow the seed in any way that you can. In that, we send missionaries and to other countries and other states. We stand against evil such as human trafficking. What's his name that's really into that right now? Football player, Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is an advocate for that. You know why? Because that's justice. As long as God's people, as long as church stands back and just lets darkness do whatever, it's just going to get darker and darker. We're the city on the hill. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. God's called us to stand for what's true and what's right and to seek justice in that. That's why we get involved in the things we get involved in. We should be planting and establishing Bible-teaching churches. We go into the prisons and we carry the gospel to them. And here's where I want to land for just a second. We teach our kids the Bible. You know, I was talking to my wife on the way over here about some different things and things that, here's the where God's really showing me in this message for me. And I'm like, man, Lord, just show me some areas of my life where I need to. I'm not kingdom mindset. I'm random mindset. And it's like the devil comes along and he goes like, hey, if I give you this, would you trade the soul of just one grandkid? How many of you in the thing that you love, maybe it's money, maybe it's pleasure, maybe it's all, you know, whatever the world can give you. What if the devil went, oh, I'm not asking for a lot. What about just one soul? Would you trade your kid's soul so that you could have, so that you could go, so that you could see? Because that's what he tries to do. And the Lord said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Some people sell their soul out and they don't realize it. I'm like, well, no, I don't got time for all that church stuff and all that. One day you'll wish to God you had time. One day you'll wish to God you had time because you're going to wake up and you're going to realize time's over. And opportunities are over. And I just go, if you want to advance the kingdom, if I had anything, you know, what would you commend us to do? I'd commend you to teach your kids the Bible. Teach them the word of God. Walk it in front of it. Talk to them about it. Don't just sit down and do a family devotional. Live God's word out in front of them. Let them see it come alive in you, that you believe it, that you live it, that you walk in the principles of life that you live are built upon that. Teach them to love God's word because God's word is true and he's good. Teach your kids God's word. You don't have to tell them to invite Jesus in heart. They'll repent of their sin and give their life to him. Think about this. You know, being kingdom-minded in advance of the kingdom looks like actively carrying out the will of God for the glory of the king. You know, the work of the church is the advancement of the kingdom for the betterment of the people who are within that, and we look forward to the return of the King of Kings. I want to finish with this thought. You know, we live in a world that's absolutely spinning out of control. And I don't want to be negative, Nancy. But I just go, in reality, if we want to look around where we're at, you're like, I think I say it every week, like, this is crazy. This is getting crazier and crazier. I, honest to God, don't see how you can be a child of God. And when I say the world, I'm not talking about creation. I'm not talking about the good things that God gives us, but I'm talking about the world system. When you look at the world system and the effects that sin is having on the world, if you're a child of God, you've got to go, this is insanity. The things that we're believing, the things people are doing and involving themselves in, especially just openly and unashamed, like, this is the craziest I've ever seen it all my life, the world that we live in, spinning out of control.
That's right.
It's out of control. But here's where I want to go. I'm going, you know what? God doesn't want us to focus on that. God's like, I gave you the greatest power to change this. We can look at that 4%, and I promise you this. If you don't develop a kingdom mindset and advance the kingdom, if this man comes back a year or two from now, it'll be to 2%, 1%, no percent. That's where we're headed. And being a spectator, just coming to church, isn't going to change that.
That's right.
It's not going to change it. We as parents and grandparents and disciples of Jesus have to actively engage to go, I'm going to at least advance the kingdom a little bit each day. I wake up in the morning time after study this, I go, all right, what am I going to do to advance the kingdom today? I go to bed in the evening and go, what did I do to advance the kingdom today? Because it's really the only thing that matters. If I focus on that first, you said, I'll take care of everything else. I'll take care of everything else. And God doesn't make our decision. What are we supposed to do? We be a missionary to Africa? Well, if God's calling you to Africa. But what about this? Jesus said, you know what? If you just give a drink to one of my disciples in my name, you will in no wise lose your reward. I mean, that's pretty simple. He doesn't make it complicated. So each day, there are some simple things that I can do because of what I believe to advance the kingdom of heaven in the world that I live in. But if we go on and all we think about is the world, then we're investing in a sinking ship. I read this. You know, the night the Titanic sunk, it was the unsinkable ship. Estimated 1,500 people died that night. Here's what was crazy. The orchestra played on the third level deck the whole time it was sinking, and that's where everybody who was on the ship was going. You say, well, maybe that was just, that's how they dealt with it. Here's what the crazy thing is. They said that most of the lifeboats was half full. There was plenty of room in the lifeboats to get most everybody off of the ship. But instead of focusing on the escape and the lifeboats, they heard the music playing, and so they stayed on a sinking ship, and they perished. Now, I was thinking about that. They said that on the shore there was, they had a, I guess it was a big thing they were riding on, and there was two categories of names, saved and lost. And as I was reading that story, I was thinking, that's what we see today. There's two categories. This world is just like the Titanic. People thought, oh, it's always going to go on. But this is a sinking ship. It's a sinking ship. And it's not going to go on. And even though you hear the music playing and you go up to the highest level, if you hold on and invest in this world, you're going to perish. And your family's going to perish. And anybody who believes in this world and the world system and doesn't turn around, you know what? The only lifeboat there is Jesus. He's one of those lifeboats. Here's the sad thing. It's half full because the church pedaling away from the sinking ship. We need to be called. People go, hey, my boat's half empty. They might say, your brain's half empty. Say, well, sink with a ship if you want to. But as God's people, we should be telling people, look, there's two categories. What category are you in today? Saved or lost? You're in Christ or in your sin? You're born again or you're dead? You're a sinner or you're saved by God's grace and you're a saint? You're a son and a daughter of the king or you're a son and a daughter of the devil? Two categories. Everybody's going to end up in one of two places. You're going to end up in heaven because you trusted in Jesus, or you're going to end up in hell because you trusted in you. That's what's coming, and it's coming like a freight train. And the last time I checked, I never looked into any church that I ever preached in and saw anybody who was 110 years old. Anybody here? 100? Nope. Not far from it, maybe. But we ain't going to live forever. And some of you teenagers sitting here this morning, I want you to recognize and realize you ain't promised to ever make it to 20. And I don't say these things a whole lot. I'm not into scare tactics, but in reality, I buried people in caskets this long, and I buried people in caskets normal size. I buried people who were all wrinkled up. I buried babies. I buried all kinds of people. And so life is not promised for anybody here. So I just want to encourage you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, if you can answer, go, I might be in that category of the lost. Jesus wants to save you. Amen. He wants to give you life. He's not the God who's sitting there on his throne going, I'm ready to hammer you. He's the God who left his throne to go, I'm coming to save you. Amen. And I want to give you life. You can receive that today. Say, I want Jesus to be my Lord King. Humble yourself before God. You don't got to come up here. Listen to me. You don't come up here. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to tell you to invite Jesus in your heart. I'm going to say, if you know that you're a sinner and you need saving, turn to Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Ask God to forgive your sins, save your soul, and God will do exactly that because he died to save you. And if you're here and you say, well, I'm in that category, then what are you doing about this category? As God's people, and I commend our church because we're very involved in a lot of areas, but I just want to encourage you. We don't have to be a part of a sinking ship. We can turn this boat around. If you're here today and your family's falling apart or your kids are lost, whatever, turn the ship around. Lead it towards the cross, men. Do what God's called us and empowered us to do. And God will save you and give you life. You know what? You might wake up one morning and go, I just seen the Lord come back today. It would make me so happy. Amen. Because he's coming and nothing's going to hinder him. Don't wait till the last minute to try to make it happen. Don't hold on to this world and lose your own soul. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Yeah. Okay. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for loving us. I thank you, Jesus, that our hope goes way beyond this whole world. Lord, if all I had was what is in this life, it'd be most miserable. And I thank you, Jesus, that you give us life. I love the life that I have here, Lord. I love my family. I love my church family. I love the good things that you give us to enjoy. Lord, but that's only a small taste. Small taste of what you have in store. And God, I know that you hold back because you're patient, you're long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God, I pray as I look over this crowd this morning, every person here has come to the place to trust you as their Lord and Savior. If there's one person or 10 people or 100 here, never been born again, never received the gift of salvation, God, I pray right where they're at, Lord, they'd humble themselves to receive that this morning. God, that you would just raise them up. You would change their whole life, change their future, change their address. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I pray as a church we'd be about your kingdom. You would give us a kingdom mindset. Our heart would be to invest this week in what we believe in. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.